some point in the not-so-distant past, Americans began to care about a sport that most people around the world already love, and even worship, soccer or football. Today we hear the story of two friends, both Englishmen living in Los Angeles, who've decided to create a local football club called City of Angels FC. PJ Harrison and Joe Sumner have a license, they've raised cash, and they've got a big vision. But how'd they get the idea in the first place? This is Eureka, I'm Monocle 24. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. This week, PJ tells his story.
I didn't really have a career ambition as such. I had a combination of knowing that I didn't want to do something regular, not for any reason other than I just didn't feel cut out for it, didn't feel equipped for that type of work, for the routine. And combined with the options presented to me being quite limited, you know, where I'm from, there isn't a huge amount of immediate opportunity. You are restricted from access to London. It's so expensive to take the train, the hotels and everything. So even if you wanted to do unpaid work, it was impossible to make that happen. So I had to try and find a way through that and settle on something that appealed to me, but it didn't really present itself to me until years later. And the funny thing about it is, in retrospect, it was always obvious, because I started out, my dad worked in the factory, but on the side of that, he would go out and do DJ gigs for like birthdays and pubs and things like that. So I would, from being a small boy, help him load the stuff up into the car, sort the records, and then as I got a bit older, I'd start lining the records up for him and, you know, kind of assisting him a bit. So I had this like roadie, entrepreneurial music background from being a kid. I was aware of all this music that ranged from like Northern Soul through Motown through to the, you know, cheesiest singles of the 80s. So I ended up working in the music business, and then later on now I end up working in football, or soccer as some people might refer to it wrongly. And, you know, that was always a big passion of mine too, and, you know, again, something I did with my dad as a youngster. So looking at it now, I can see that the passions and the interests were there from the beginning. But at the time, 16, 17, 18, it was really hard to figure out what that would be. I didn't have a conventional career path. I don't really have an education as such. Well, I do, but not in the, you know, I don't have any qualifications really. So I had to find my route. So in my early 20s, I ended up owning a joint venture label with Sony Music and running that, which was a really steep learning curve, because that was literally the first thing I'd done in the music business outside of promoting club nights and occasionally DJing and things. So that was kind of the deep end, but it was really exciting and being in London at that time. And then I just started following whatever opportunities or my interests were. So if I wanted to, say, you know, see what it was like to make a concert film, I was fortunate to have a couple of artists who trusted me with that, tried that out, or, you know, maybe produce a little music, try that out. So I sort of dabbled around a few things, and I was able to, within certain circumstances, make it work out. So I took this unusual career path from label boss, writer, producer, director, and essentially just did whatever I felt was interesting for that particular year or the lifetime of that project. Well, my buddy in this endeavour is Joe Sumner, and Joe is a musician, but he also became an app developer. He developed an app called Viclone and a couple of others after that. And, you know, he became part of the Venice Beach technology community. You know, he's another English guy in LA. There's quite a few of them. And we met backstage at a show that was put on by some friends of ours, and he was in the band. I was, you know, kind of around the production of it. So we were just sat backstage for a week, you know, talking about football, like two English people do when surrounded by a bunch of ladies. And, you know, we just dug out a little corner of the dressing room and talked about Newcastle United and Everton. He's got a lot of good things going for him, but being a Newcastle fan is not one of them. I'm an Everton fan, and it's a difficult relationship being an Everton fan. It's got a storied history. It's a magnificent club, but it, you know, it does have the potential to break your heart on a fairly regular basis. So you know, that's the life of a football fan. You don't really choose it. It chooses you. You're just told when you're born. There's no discussion in this. You're an Everton fan. We'd kind of meet up in English pubs and watch football, which is, you know, a real cliche of expats in Los Angeles. But it's a great vehicle to form relationships with, because it immediately gives you, you know, hours of chat with somebody you don't really know well. I was in New York, Joe was in Los Angeles. I'd been meeting with an executive of a football club in New York with a view to seeing if there was any potential work for myself with them, which there wasn't. But during this two-hour conversation about football, it came up that the league he was a part of were looking for new teams, and would a team that I had a relationship with be interested in looking into it? So up until that point, the idea of club ownership had always been a distant dream or a fantasy football kind of thing. It was never something I had ever thought would be an option. But when he painted out the numbers and the economics of it, I realised that in the US, it's a practical pursuit in the lower divisions. So I came out of it being intrigued. I immediately decided it was something I wanted to do without really knowing what that would look like. I called Joe because I thought, you know, I need a partner for this. This is going to be a lot of work. I need somebody who has a bit of a different skill set to me. Somebody who, by being involved in this, is going to help me, like, commit to it, you know, because I'm going to have to make a commitment to them. And somebody that I can live with kind of in a marriage for 10 years and get along with. And he was the very first person I thought of. We hadn't done anything before that, really. But I just felt good about it. And he just called me back immediately and was like, yeah, absolutely, in. What do we do? And we figured it out. And it took us 2 years, and we took some diversions and some backward steps along the way. And in the end, we just thought, let's go for this. And we ended up being in a good spot, you know. And the great thing is about when you're talking about something theoretically, people are interested, you know, they're supportive, they may commit certain things to you. But when it becomes a published reality, or at least conceptually it's out there, good things start coming towards you. I think there's a bit of a lesson for entrepreneurs that we all want perfection, but it can really get to the point where you're holding yourself back looking for what's generally speaking unobtainable. It's never quite the way you want it to be, for all kinds of different reasons. So I think as long as you're most of the way there and you commit to it and say it publicly, it then gains its own momentum and people start getting attracted to it. There was a time when we did have £60 million committed and then the fund collapsed, which, you know, that was a difficult day. I don't know if you've ever lost £60 million in a day, but it's, you know, it wasn't a highlight of the year. So, you know, it was a sports fund that were not able to execute what they thought they were. We had a commitment from them and a trust, and it didn't work out in the end. But that, you know, that's the nature of a project. I'm sure pretty much everybody who's been in here has had a very similar experience at some point. We called it football club because it's football. You know, I mean, if other people want to call their sport football, they can. But no, they're not. No, we're a football club. You know, it's not. People can call it soccer, but we couldn't live with calling it City of Angels Soccer Club. It's football.
PJ Harrison from City of Angels Football Club in Los Angeles. Eureka will be back next Friday. We'll hear from the man whose day job is an accountant at a luxury hotel, but who's also building a company selling design-inspired socks on the side.
My family were thinking, you know, you have a decent job, decent salary, why are you leaving it? And I'm like, because I want to do something else, something meaningful.
This episode was edited by Toby Hammond. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.